As I've already noted, as we were turning to this chapter in God's Word this morning, the 18th chapter of Kings, for many of us, our thoughts turn immediately to that great man Elijah. In chapter 17, we read about the Lord's provision for Elijah, as he tells him to go and stand before King Ahab and tell him that there's going to be a famine in the land. And then we see the Lord take Elijah, and he takes him to the brook Cherith. And when all the country is seeking for Elijah's life, the Lord hides Elijah and he protects him. And there by the brook Cherith, in the midst of turmoil all round about, the Lord watches over him and the Lord provides for him. Even from the water of the brook and from the ravens that brought the flesh and the bread day by day. As the brook dries, we see Elijah move to Zarephath. And again, the Lord works mightily through the widow there. And that God's servant is provided for once more. And then again, in a way that is very unlikely. As we come into chapter 18, in the opening verse, we see the Lord again speaks to Elijah. And he tells him to go and show himself once more to King Ahab. And so Elijah starts to make his journey. And we know the rest of the passage, as I've said, about the great works of the Lord upon Mount Carmel and about the sacrifice that was offered there. But in these opening verses, we have a man mentioned here who we read very little of in Scripture. A man who in many ways is in the shadows of this great man Elijah. A man, as we study Elijah, we in many ways overlook this man. Oh yes, there is little detail about this man. He's known by the name of Obadiah. You know, different commentators suggest that this may be the Obadiah that wrote the prophecy. But yet, in the Old Testament, there were 13 Obadiahs mentioned. So we cannot be sure of that. But here is one who appears on the pages of Scripture. Someone who was in many ways insignificant in comparison to this great man of God, Elijah. And yet the Lord, by the power of his Holy Spirit, saw fit that this man and his actions be recorded. Dear friends, at the very outset of this message, we could consider many Elijahs that have went before us. Many great men used in the Lord's work. Many men and women used amongst the children and the boys and girls. And I'm sure somebody springs to your mind that in some sense they are an Elijah. They're serving the Lord very at the coalface, as it were. They're the one who seems to be able to carry out that gift, that duty which the Lord has given them so well. And maybe you feel that you're only in the shadows. You say to yourself, well, Lord, there's not really much I can do. Well, I couldn't teach the boys and girls. I couldn't go to the mission field. I couldn't stand in the pulpit and preach. Lord, I'm insignificant. Is there really a part for me to play in your plan? Well, this morning, through this man Obadiah, I believe that there's a message for each one of us. A message of encouragement, but also a message of challenge for us. You know, as I studied this man, I found that many of the Bible commentators really looked at this man and ridiculed him. Why? Well, they see a man who is living and working in the palace beside Ahab, this great and wicked king. And they contrast the life of this man with that of Elijah. And they say, well, Obadiah, he was a weak believer who served Ahab. While Elijah, well, he was a strong and a mighty man of God and he served the Lord. Well, Obadiah, he served God in secret. He didn't really take a stand for the Lord, and Elijah served God publicly. But friends, I would have to disagree. I think here we have a great man before us, and yet a man greatly overlooked. Dear friends, the Lord uses us all in different ways. The Lord has given us all abilities. The Lord has given us all a task to do. For some, it may be the preaching of the word. For some, it may be to go to the mission field. For others, it may be in the children's work or the youth work. For others, you're a prayer warrior. And such a blessed position to be in. The Lord has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. No matter what age, no matter what our life circumstances, no matter what situation we find ourselves in today. If we're saved and we love the Lord, then the Lord has a work for each one of us to do. And so I want to consider this man of whom we read, Obadiah. And I want to see that the Lord used him for his plan and his purpose, despite all what may be considered failings. The first thing I want to consider this morning is that here we have before us a fearful man. A fearful man. When we consider fear, we think of one who is perhaps weak, one who is terrified of something that has come along their path. We've all experienced fears in different ways, haven't we? I know as a child, on my grandparents' farm, I used to be afraid of walking up the yard in the dark. That unknown, the shadows that lurked. Maybe it's the same with you. You have a fear of the dark. For some, maybe it's a fear of spiders. And the scream goes out as one runs along the bottom of the bath. We all have fears, don't we? We have fears for the future in many ways. Perhaps we're waiting results of a test, or perhaps we have an appointment with a doctor. And there are fears in our hearts and in our lives. Fears that could be considered very much legitimate. Well, here we have a child of God who had fears. If we were to read the previous chapter of the book, we would see the wickedness not only of King Ahab, but even also of his wife Jezebel and the chapters that follow. In fact, perhaps Ahab's wickedness was even greater than that. Sorry, Jezebel's wickedness was even greater of that of King Ahab. And yet of Ahab, we read that he had done exceedingly worse than his fathers before him. A wicked man who sought to establish paganism in every way. A man who sought to eradicate the name of the Lord. And so it was with Jezebel, his wife. We read there in verse 4. For so it was when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord. The prophets of the Lord spoken here is the name not only given to those who had that extraordinary spirit of prophecy given from God, but to all such as ministered the word or devoted themselves to the service of God in preaching or praying or praising God and such like. And in her vehement anger and rebellion for anything that resembled obedience to God, she sought to annihilate all trace of true worship towards Jehovah. Well, those were dark days. Those were dark days for God's children. She sought to cut off those who took any sort of a stand. Friends, do we not see ourselves moving into dark days here in our own land? There are those who seek to stop the preaching of God's word. I don't need to tell you all that's going on. There are those who will lambast and ridicule and even seek to get arrested, those who preach in the open air. There will be those within businesses of whatever sort, whether they be government or otherwise, that if you speak out for Christ, then you'll be brought up on a tribunal. And again, we see that day and daily. Those who take their stand for the Lord, being brought in and losing their jobs or being demoted or whatever the case may be. We see Facebook posts being trawled from years back and taken out. We have seen that even this week with, and over the last number of months with parliamentarian in Sweden. And they have struck her off. And they have gone back many, many years and they have left Facebook posts here and there. And they're saying that what she is teaching, what she believes is contrary to modern society and it must be outlawed. Dear friends, we're in dark days. There are those around us seeking to eradicate the word of God. Why? Because it shows the truthfulness of their sin in their own lives. And then we look further beyond our shores to our brothers and sisters in the East. Those persecuted day and daily, those perhaps even today who will give their lives for Christ because they claim him as their Lord and Saviour. Dear friends, nothing much has changed since the days of Elijah and Obadiah and Ahab and Jezebel. But is that not what the Lord told his disciples would happen? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11, the Lord says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." And yet, dear friends, with such a persecution, with such an unsafe environment for the believer, we have before us a man who served in the courts of the palace, a man who oftentimes feared for his life because he was a believer in Jehovah, a man who had seen such hatred and such wrath against those who served the Lord. Well, the wickedness of the actions of Ahab are further seen in verse 5. Biblical historians tell us that this man, this wicked man, not only had he a hatred against the believers, but he had little or no concern for his own countrymen, those who served him. Well, this man was more concerned about the welfare of his horses and his animals than that of his people. That's what verse 5 tells us. The drought was so severe that Ahab himself and his trusted servant, even the governor of his house, this man Obadiah, went out searching for pasture for the animals. One commentator says, we might have supposed that he would set himself to alleviate the miseries of his people, and above all that he would have turned back to God considering all that was going on. But no, his one thought was about the horses and the mules of his stud. His only care was to save some of them alive. What selfishness is here? What wickedness? His livestock before his people, seeking grass instead of seeking God. But dear friends, it's during this search for grass that Obadiah meets Elijah suddenly in the way. And Elijah has a message for Obadiah that day. Elijah says, "Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here." And not only was Obadiah a man that had fears in his heart already, but this just added to those. You can almost see the cold sweat running down his brow as you read these words. Poor Obadiah, knowing well, no doubt, the murderous character of his master, trembles for his life. He says to Elijah, verse 9, "What have I sinned that thou wouldst deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord liveth, there is no nation nor kingdom whither my Lord have not sent to seek thee." We see this man in fear. We see this man wondering how on earth he could face the wickedness of Ahab and tell him, "I have seen Elijah and he wants to meet with you." Well, that was not the problem as far as Obadiah was concerned in many ways. The problem was that Obadiah was afraid that the Spirit of the Lord would take up Elijah and carry him away. And that when he would bring this report to Ahab, and Ahab would say, "Well, where is he?" "Well, I saw him in the way over there." Ahab goes to look, "Well, where is he now? You bring me false news." No. Well, here was a man. He stood with a message to deliver a man in fear and trembling. Believer, as I've already said, at times we fear. And we stand in fear of trembling what lies before us. We stand in fear and trembling at perhaps news that we receive. As this man, Obadiah, did. His heart sunk into his wellies, we could say. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know where to turn. But I want you to notice before we move on to our next point that there was a message from the Lord here for this man. In the midst of his fears, in the midst of his anxieties, in the midst of all that he had just been asked to do, there was a message from the Lord. Verse 15. And Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand." Obadiah, this is a message from God. This is a message from the one who controls our ways. This is a message from the one who knows our beginning from our end. This is a message from the one who knows our cares and concerns. And Obadiah, it is a message from the Lord for you. As the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. And dear friend, no matter what your fears, no matter what your concerns, the Lord has a message for you if you'll only seek it. The Lord has given us his word. And through his word, by the power of his Holy Spirit, he brings peace into our darkest situation. Oh, he knows all about what lies ahead. And Obadiah, with that fear of going to tell Ahab, Elijah says, "As the Lord God liveth." And praise God, we serve a living God. We serve one that our lives are in his hands. We're under the shadow of his wing. There's a glorious thought in itself. What safety is there in a shadow? Well, a shadow can do nothing for us, but we're in the shadow of the Lord's wings, then we're safe and secure. Dear friend, Ahab received a word of comfort from the Lord. Obadiah received a word of comfort from the Lord. He was in control, and he would sort out the situation. So we have considered Obadiah the fearful man. Let us now consider Obadiah the faithful man. One wonders how a man like Obadiah, a worshipper of Jehovah, came to hold an office under such an idolater as Ahab. Our immediate reaction could be like that of some of the commentators. Oh well, if Obadiah was a man of faith, if Obadiah was a man who wasn't afraid to be a Christian. Well, no, he was yellow-bellied. Because otherwise he would have resigned his post. He would have resigned his post. He would not have been anywhere in that evil palace. He would have got out of there as quick as he could. How could he serve a wicked king like Ahab, considering the atrocities that were being carried out by his regime? Dear friends, so often we can be quick to judge. We could see the same at first glance. What was Obadiah doing there? Had the man no wit? Obviously he wasn't serving the Lord, because if he was, well, if Jezebel was killing all the prophets round about, surely she would have done the same with Obadiah. Well, this man must have been hiding himself. He must have been living a double life. But remember, Paul speaks about the saints in Nero's palace. Nero, a man who was evil above all evil. Man who created great atrocities amongst God's people. And yet Paul says that there were saints in the palace. We could consider also Pharaoh. The Lord placed Joseph in that man's company. And the Lord set Joseph over all the land of Egypt. Both Pharaoh acknowledges that the Lord was with Joseph. We could consider others. We could consider Daniel, a young man who disobeyed the rules and who asked the servants of Nebuchadnezzar to feed him only the pulse. And the Lord blessed him. And Daniel won favour even in the palace of that wicked king. And the list goes on. The little maid in Naaman's house. What about Mordecai and Esther? The Lord placed Obadiah in this position of authority in the king's court for a reason, just as he had done with others. And why did he do such a thing? Well, I believe the real reason is clearly given in these verses. Look at verse 3 with me. We read that Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. We read the same of his own testimony at the end of verse 12. Will I, thy servant, fear the Lord? Well, here we see a man that feared the Lord. And this was not the same fear that he had of Ahab and Jezebel. No, this was a reverent fear of the God of heaven, the creator and sustainer of all things. He believed the promises of the Lord to be yea and amen. He was trusting in God like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Job and many others. And he looked for the promised Messiah, the Redeemer who would bear the sins of his people. And we could say of this man, by faith Obadiah lived in the company of the wicked Jezebel and Ahab. I want us to notice that this fear of the Lord was no new thing to him. It was a faith that was familiar to him. He says, "But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth." What a joy to be able to say that from a youth I have trusted the Lord. Here was a man. And we know little of his background and his upbringing. But I believe he had godly parents. Was this not a similar case to that of young Timothy? Paul writes that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, here was a man who trusted the Lord from his youth. A man, I believe, who had known the laws of the Lord from a child. And it is significant that his name means servant of the Lord, suggesting that his parents were most likely God-fearing people. And what a great privilege it is to be brought up in a Christian home and to trust the Lord early in life. So often as young people we perhaps don't appreciate that. But isn't it great to be able to look back and say and speak and tell of the Lord's goodness over many, many years. But he also had a fervent faith. He had a fervent faith. Oh, this man was not just going through the motions of his religion like many across our land today. Dare I say, even in our own churches, some only have a form of godliness. Oh, they will remind you and themselves of a day and an hour when they trusted Christ. But the reality is that they're like the church of the Laodiceans. The Lord said, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot." Oh, they use the excuse of their actions. Oh, they say, "Oh, well, I'm a witness in that place, and so I can go here and I can go there." And yet it is only an excuse. It's only an excuse to satisfy their own desires and their own lusts. But not so with this man. Not so with this man. This man feared the Lord greatly. Oh, he may not have been an Elijah, but nevertheless, he lived a life of faithfulness with zeal and intensity and enthusiasm. And there were no half measures with this individual. He was an out-and-out believer. Could we say anything better about somebody than he was an out-and-out believer for the Lord? But I bring you back to the situation of his employment. And you say, well, if that were the case, and Ahab was such an evil man, how did Obadiah survive? I believe that through his witness, Ahab seen qualities in this child of God that were not found in others around him. These were days when those around sought to take the kingdom. We read of the accounts of kings, and we see those who, by underhand methods, sought to take the kingdom for themselves. And yet this man Ahab knew that Obadiah was a godly man. He was a man who done things by the book. He was a man who was no threat to him because he was a man that was honest. He was a man of integrity. And so, as it had been with others that we have mentioned, Joseph, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Paul the prisoner, here was one who could be trusted explicitly. Here was one who could be relied upon. And here was one who, because of his faithfulness to God, was also faithful to his master. But I want us to notice that he had a fruitful faith. Dear friends, this morning, if we are living a life of faith, if we are out and out for Christ, if our faith is fervent, then our faith should also be fruitful. Even in the midst of such a difficult environment, such a difficult place to work, Obadiah had a desire to preserve the word and the work of the Lord, even at the risk of losing everything that he had, even to the point of death. Again, verse 4. For so it was when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Here was a man who held great position and great power, yet was prepared to risk all to serve his Lord. Oh, this would be no easy task. This would be no secure or safe task, to take God's people to hide them, and more so in a famine to provide for them what they needed. No, here was a man who was out and out for his Lord. Here was a man that had conviction and compassion for the work of the Lord, that it was more important to serve the Lord than it was to have life itself. And here I see a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says in John chapter 9 and verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And the Lord Jesus Christ left the splendor of heaven, knowing what lay before him. Dear friends, when Obadiah went out to save those 100 men, he didn't know what the consequences would be. He didn't know whether Jezebel would find out and take his life. Oh, in many ways, this was an act of treason. And yet he went. But my Saviour left the splendor of heaven, and he came, and he took on human flesh, and the God-man lived a life of perfect obedience in a sinful world, and he was cruelly beaten and abused and mocked and scorned, and he suffered more than any man. And he went to Calvary's cross. But the difference is, my Lord knew what lay before him. My Lord knew when he left the splendor of heaven that he would go to Calvary's cross. And there he would be nailed to a tree. And if that was not enough, he knew that the wrath of God would be poured out upon him for your sins and for mine. And yet he went willingly. And dear friend, if you're not saved this morning, can I just say, Christ died for your sins. Christ died to bring you unto himself. But you must trust him. You must trust him. Oh, those men that Obadiah went through, they could have said, well, Obadiah, this is all great in practice, but you know, how do we know you're not a traitor? How do we know you're not doing the work of Jezebel and you're going to lead us to her? Well, these men trusted Obadiah. Trusted him.
that he would bring them to safety. And dear friend, you must trust Christ yourself this morning. Oh, these men could have heard the message of Obadiah and said, "That's all right, we believe what you're saying. That'll do us." Many across our land are doing the same. "We believe what you're saying. Oh yes, we hear you preach the gospel, and that's fair enough. We believe what you're saying. But we're not going to heed what you're saying. We're not going to trust Christ, though. We'll take our chances." I wonder this morning, friend, are you trusting Christ for salvation? Or are you trusting that your own good works will be enough? The Lord Jesus Christ wrought salvation, still works salvation in the hearts and lives of those that trust him. Obadiah led them men to safety, but it was only temporal, for one day they would die and pass out into God's eternity. And dear friends, so will you. Are you ready? Are you ready? What if you end up in the hands of the enemy, Satan, the evil one? You go to that place where there's torment and torture for all eternity. Are you ready? Back to our passage. Dear believer, Obadiah served the Lord as his faith was fruitful. I wonder, is your faith fruitful today? Are you seeking to win others for Christ in your workplace? Well, there may be difficulties, there may be hardships, there may be trials. But the Lord has placed you and I in a specific place that we can serve him. Maybe in our place of employment. Maybe in a home with unsafe family members. Maybe in a community. Maybe there's a farmer here. And you go to the mart, and week by week the Lord brings a man across your way, a man with a foul tongue. And you pass the time of day, but the Lord brings that man across your path day by day. Well, he takes the Lord's name in vain. But the Lord brings that man your way. I wonder, are you taking that opportunity? We all have opportunities to serve the Lord. Ahab had opportunities to serve the Lord, and he did faithfully. Dear believer, we may not all be Elijahs today. We may not all be able to stand up and preach. We may not all be able to go. But the Lord has you and I where he wants us if we're serving him. And I wonder, are we serving him? Are we serving him, trusting him day by day, living for his honour and glory, regardless of what's going on around us? Living lives of faith with fervency, bearing fruit for his name's sake, maintaining the remnant. Your friends, here is a man who by his faithful life saved the lives of others. Are we doing the same? Well, there's a challenge for each one of us. As I said, some seek to undermine this man. But dear friends, each one of us ought to be an Obadiah. That should be the desire of our hearts this morning and this week, to be an Obadiah. Oh, you say it's difficult. That's right. It is. It's difficult. I thought of the words that the hymn writer penned. God hath not promised skies always blue, flowers strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labour, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. Dear friend, let us go out this week, and let us be Obadiahs for our Lord.